Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After six, Michael Leibowitz is here. Lebo and I have really good conversations off the air. He'll call me up, and we have these. We talk really fast because his phone calls are limited to 15-minute intervals, and we have really good debates on topics. And mostly it has to do with Leibowitz going deep off the deep end into the land of liberalism, and me trying to pull him back into the small government world. Is that how you would characterize it, Mike?
No, not at all, but nice try. That would set up quite the straw man for you to knock down here, wouldn't it?
Well, go ahead.
Well, what I think is that you and I agree on ends. So both of us, you know, want to respect the United States Constitution. We respect liberty, individual rights, capitalism. Where we differ frequently is on the tactics and strategies used to achieve the goal. So I just want to state what I think your position is so we're clear, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But you support Donald Trump as a disruptive figure, as somebody who went into Washington, kind of broke things up, broke up the corruption, exposed it for what it was, and the goal then is to sort of fill that vacuum with a liberty-minded candidate or liberty-minded philosophy. Am I correct?
Yeah, I couldn't hear everything, but I think we're in alignment there, yeah.
Okay. I think this is wrong, and the main reason I think it's wrong is because what Trump has done is he has not just broken things up, which I agree he's done. He's been a disruptive candidate. But he's also become the object now of allegiance, where people follow him rather than follow an ideology. And yesterday, I thought you had a very good opportunity to bring some things out. And what happened was, you know, the phone call between Trump and the Georgia Secretary of State, where Trump told them to find votes. And this was clearly unethical. I don't think it was, I don't know. I don't know if it's illegal or what. I don't, you know, I wouldn't impeach him over it, but I think it was unethical on his part. Now, what you could have went in, you know, various ways with this, but you chose to use it to expose media bias and corruption. Now, the problem for me with that is, first of all, I heard two other talk show hosts do the same thing. The other thing was the majority of your audience already knows that the media is biased and unreliable, so you just pointed out something to them that they already knew. Whereas what you could have done was pointed out the fact that even the guy that so many Republicans adore, Donald Trump, is corrupt as a politician. You could have then showed all the corrupt Republicans that are supporting him no matter what, regardless of, you know, whether he's telling the truth, lying or not, and they're doing it for clearly political reasons. That would show that there's corruption even in the side, even in the party that's supposed to be on our side. And if that's the case, how can we really trust any politicians? And if we can't, then the thing to do would be to limit their power. But again, instead of going sort of that route with it, you went the, I guess, more knee-jerk route to point out the corruption of the media, which, while it affects our lives, we can get around it. We can't get around government edicts.
So, I don't really have any argument with what you're saying. I didn't do that in the particular hour that you're talking about just because I didn't feel like I had time to go through all the issues with all the callers who would want to go through all the issues. And I want to make that case really well to people that For example, there's a call on the rant line today where the caller says, when you're talking about state issues, you're great, but I'm not listening to you anymore because you're not good anymore. And he didn't really articulate why he wasn't good. I don't think he could think of any reason specifically to mention. But there's a lot of that kind of feeling out there that if you're not towing the party line, and this is what I took from inference, what he was upset about was, I don't blindly follow Donald Trump. And I want to convince people that they shouldn't blindly follow anybody. And the trick is to be able to hook them with that argument at the same time as I'm pushing them away by not being blindly loyal. And it's kind of a threading the needle thing. So that's why I didn't do it during the particular segment that you're referring to, just because there wasn't enough time. It was my first hour back from vacation and everything. But, you know, we don't differ. As you started at the beginning of this segment, as you set it up, we don't really differ in what we want. And but that the main place we argue, I think, is in the fact that there is day-to-day politics to be meted out. And if you take a strictly libertarian view and say, I don't get involved with anything, you know, I won't support anything Trump does, even if it's better policy for the country than what the other side would vote for, well, that's just stepping out of the political fight. And I'm firmly in the political fight. So it puts me in a situation where, yeah, sometimes I have to support the guy who's supporting the thing that isn't perfect. There's this expression in politics, which I'm sure you've heard, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I think that's my explanation for why you see me sometimes as moving away from principles or abandoning principles.
No, and you've kind of misstated my position, because if Trump proposes tax cuts, I'll support him 100%. If he proposes deregulation, I'll support him 100%. If he, you know, wants to actually do something about ending the war on drugs, which he hasn't, but just hypothetically, I would support him on that. Those are policy issues where I would support him. My issue is when you get into defending him on these sort of soap opera issues, where he's clearly an unethical human being. I mean, I don't know how much more obvious he can make it. And like yesterday, like I said, with the phone call, yes, the media is biased. Yes, he was corrupt, but he's the president. And that's the type of thing where I wouldn't defend him on. There's nothing wrong. You could support a guy based on policies, but when you support the person in the wrong that he does, that's where the problem comes in.
But I wasn't supporting him in whatever wrong he did.
I'm sorry to state it like that. That's not really what I meant. What I meant was that you attacked his attackers, rather than showing where he went wrong and where we go wrong in supporting him at all costs.
Right.
But as far as your day-to-day politics, you had a caller, one of my favorite callers, Dave from Bramford, a couple of weeks ago, say that he's a radical incrementalist, I think he said. And I'm all for incremental politics. I think I've told you numerous times, there's the ideal to reach for, but it can only be established in increments. So while ideally I oppose, for instance, government involvement in education, I would support the idea of school vouchers because I think it moves us in the right direction.
But let's go back to the point you made.
Okay.
I want to respond to the point you just made without it moving too far away with regard to this particular discussion about Trump and the phone call. I don't view Trump's behavior as president as being dramatically different from other politicians, except that he's more obvious with what he does. He's not worried about people seeing how ugly politics is and how ugly his practice of politics is, versus people like, say, Jolly Ned. Ned Lamont is a conniving, slithering creature who knows how to use words very carefully to make sure nobody knows what he's up to. So if you take the approach that you're suggesting I need to take, which is to just call out bad behavior whenever I see it, well, Trump shows bad behavior every day. And if you follow that demonstration of the bad behavior with a reprimand every time it happens, then you become like the mainstream media, which is simply a reprimand gong that goes off whenever Trump speaks, because Trump always wears on his sleeve the ugliness and the despicable practices of people playing big time politics that Ned Lamont does every day and nobody ever sees and nobody ever calls him out for, except me, I think, because it's not plainly visible. It requires study to see it.
Yeah, I agree with you that politicians are corrupt. I don't think that Trump is that far afield, except for in his obviousness. I agree with you. But let me use an analogy. I remember when Barack Obama was running for president, and he said that he was the guy that could get everybody to work together to support his agenda. Then when Republicans opposed him at every turn, he said, how can I get anything done? These Republicans won't cooperate. Well, you were the guy who said you were going to get them to cooperate. So Donald Trump came into office saying he was going to clean up the swamp. But then he is the swamp. So the fact that other politicians do it, I think it serves as an excellent example that even the guy who said he's going to clean it up is a part of it. And this is why these people can't be trusted. While, you know, I think we've had six Republican presidents since the New Deal, and yet government continues to grow and when either side are in office. In Donald Trump's tenure, government has grown. The debt's gone up by, I think, $7 or $8 trillion. He wants to give $2,000 more to everybody without cutting spending everywhere, which means they're either going to have to print the money now, borrow it, and ultimately tax people later. So that's not a good idea. So he ultimately is doing the very things that he said he wasn't going to do. And the point is that government is the enemy. And I just don't see how it benefits us in establishing a libertarian philosophy to point out the media's corruption when the guy that actually has the power is corrupt as well. Doesn't mean we can't point out the media bias. I think that's worth doing. But I think it behooves us to always call our political leaders to account to demonstrate the danger of allowing these people to have power.
Well, it's the word always is the only one I would disagree with, I guess, because, again, because Trump is so transparent, because he's the most honest of the politicians who plays at the level that he plays, he's so clear and open about how it works that you would just end up talking about him all day, every day, which is what the media does. So in the world of information, I feel like the role that I can provide is to be providing a clearer and more well-rounded picture of the connection between Donald Trump and Ned Lamont, the connection between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, the similarities. And that's what I choose to do. I point out while they're busy attacking Trump, I'm busy attacking them for doing the same thing.
Well, that's good. I think the similarities between Trump,
you have 1 minute left,
Trump and Ned, those are all fantastic things. I think that's great. I'll give you my rebuttal when I call you right back, because unfortunately, as you mentioned earlier, the state limits me to 15 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. Call us back.
The caller has hung up.
Leibowitz.
Yes, sir.
We're talking to Michael Leibowitz. He's a regular on the program. He calls us from prison, where he's been for 23 years. Really bright guy. Always good to get your perspective, Mike. All right. So you said you'd finish. Go ahead.
Okay, so I told you when we were off the air that one of the reasons I love arguing with you is because it enriches me. I learn things. It's very intellectually rewarding. It reminds me of my friendship with Brett McCall, and you know, another guest on your show who was my best friend and former cellmate, because he and I would have these sort of rewarding debates. It was the most intellectually rewarding relationship I've ever had. And the main reason I enjoy your show is because of the intellectual honesty you bring to the show, which is different from the other talk shows. Now, in this case, specifically about the phone call, you said you'd like to bring these issues to light. Well, the thing is that I listened to three other right-wing talk show hosts. Two of them brought the same issue to light. The audience already believes it. It was predictable that this would be the talking point, that the media's biased, Trump didn't actually, you know, do as bad as they said he did. So there was no need. I guess it wasn't necessary for you to preach to the choir in order to bring this issue out. You could have used it as an opportunity to elucidate the principles that you're trying to establish and to bring those out, which you might actually have been able to teach somebody something rather than just having them, you know, clap inside of an echo chamber. I hope that kind of makes it clear what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, I'm not there in prison with you to follow your listening habits so I can know which tacos I'm supposed to listen to, so so it puts me in a difficult position in trying to keep up with what you've been exposed to so that I can respond to it.
Well, that's true, Todd, but I don't think it took, you know, an Isaiah the prophet to understand that the right-wing talking points would be to defend Trump against the accusations.
But I don't live in that world. I don't listen to those guys you listen to. I don't listen to much talk radio. I listen only to WTIC. But most of the time I'm cutting up tape and reading and doing things that preclude me listening to the radio. So I'm in the dark and disinterested in what other tacos are talking about.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I can't dispute that. All I can say is that I like the uniqueness of your show. I like the uniqueness of your mind, and that yesterday it just wasn't unique to me, even though, you know, you didn't know what the other talk show host was.
And by the way, no one else has your mind.
That's true, too. And
so,
I bet you there's a lot of grateful people out there for that, too, Todd.
All right, listen to this. This is a rant line call that... that addresses this issue that I was telling you about earlier.
Hey, Todd, you used to be good. But...
Can you hear that?
Yes, I can hear it.
Okay.
Hey, Todd, you used to be good.
I love that start, by the way. I used to be good.
You used to be good.
Something happened. I'm no longer good.
You're no longer
good. Hey, Todd, you used to be good, but you've been going increasingly downhill.
Increasingly downhill. Now, as soon as I hear that, I know what it means is I've been entirely consistent in terms of what I say day in and day out, year after year, and what my reaction is going to be to things, because it's based on the beliefs we've been talking about.
Yes.
And the problem is, this guy's upset because I don't mimic what he hears everywhere else in the world, in the Trump-supporting world. I am a Trump voter who tells the truth about who Donald Trump is. Most Trump voters want to be fully in sports rooting mode and bringing their best Yankee suck attitude to politics, and I don't view it that way.
It's pretty much better when you stick to the state subject.
Better when I stick to the state.
But I don't know. Other than that, there's quite a few things. We don't have to get into it, but...
He doesn't know what they are. There's quite a few things he's upset about, but he couldn't think of one to mention, which we get a lot in talk radio.
The show's been going downhill. I'm tuning off.
The show's been going downhill. I'm tuning off, he says. And by the way, the funniest thing, I don't know if I ever told you this, Leibowitz, we're talking to Michael Leibowitz, is that the angry callers who call up and say they're not going to ever listen again, they call 24 or 48 hours later to comment on another subject like that previous call never happened. I think it's just it's where they find themselves feeling the most power.
Probably many other people will. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I think there are two others who feel the same way you do, and they're loyal listeners who listen every day with devotion. Anyway, I wanted you to hear that. Any reaction?
Yeah, well, it's just that there's... You and I once talked, not very long ago, about people's character. And I told you most people don't choose who they are. It just sort of come upon them through their upbringing and environment. Whereas, you know, to choose who you are means reflecting, thinking, challenging. And that's something that a guy like that, it just doesn't do. I don't know him personally. That's why I said a guy like that. Because I've known a lot of them where anything that comes against what they already believe, they just shut it out. And I don't see how a human being or a society can grow if that's going to be the attitude, because anything new is just going to be rejected. That's why, like I said at the outset, I like to argue with you, because it challenges me to reflect on what I'm saying, to hone my beliefs, or even to correct them when I'm shown to be wrong. And I just can't relate to that sort of attitude.
Yeah.
You know,
I can understand that you get frustrated with the fact that I'm not arguing a straight small government argument all the time. But part of it is that I think of listeners like this guy, and I want to convert him. I want to teach him to be a smart political actor in our society rather than part of the problem. And if you're blindly following politicians, whether it be a Barack Obama or Donald Trump, that's problematic. You shouldn't be blindly following anybody. Think about those words, blindly following. Why would you jump off any cliff that Donald Trump told you to jump off? Why would you cover up for him if he shot somebody on Park Avenue? The comparison about himself that he used back during the campaign. This is not good politics. This is not rational politics. It's a recipe for disaster for the country, because that means you can be led blindly anywhere by the person you're blindly following.
Awesome point, Todd. And I just want to say, you know, what you're not taking into consideration is I don't have an audience to cater to, so it's far easier for me to say what I think all the time. I don't have to worry about them tuning out. So you got to keep that in mind.
Well, I don't forget that for a second, that it's easy for you to say. But that's what's fun about this whole thing, too. One other thing just about me as a host or being a host, I don't know if other hosts feel this way, but for me, I want to be reacting in real time. I allow myself on purpose to require myself not to get too dug in to certain positions and to allow myself to move with the conversation that's going on, the larger public debate. So I might say, I might feel something different today than I did a couple weeks ago. I might feel today, all right, it's enough already with the blind Trump following, and now I'm gonna lambaste people who do it. But that's all interactive with my feeling about where the audience is at and where the larger conversation is and what people are prepared to absorb and understand. Because as I said, I don't want to lose the opportunity to persuade people like this guy on the call to be better citizens.
Yeah, you're a very flexible in your thinking and reacting, and it's something where I'm very rigid. I could learn from you. And, you know, I just want to say, because I know we're probably running out of time, that, you know, I focus a lot on Trump when we have these discussions, but it's politicians in general that we ought never to gain allegiance to. And, you know, the Republican Party I like to focus on, because they sort of carry the mantle of the small government party, and they don't do that. So if we keep accepting the mythology that they're somehow going to reduce the size of government, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. So I think that that's even more important sort of than just the isolated instance of Trump over the last 5 years, is the Republican Party hasn't been reducing government for, you know, the last 60 years,
correct,
or 70 years or whatever it is.
Correct.
And I think that's
So my attitude on that is we have to get our side elected, so that we can then persuade our side, push our side to do the right thing. And that's the challenge for us. We have to be able to do that, but we can't have blind followers. We need followers who are devoted to principles, not to personalities.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Todd.
Michael Leibowitz, what's on the menu today at prison? Anything on the schedule?
Well, I'm going to finish reading the book I'm reading, and then I'm going to listen to your show for 3 hours. That's what I'm going to do.
All right, tell us the book you're reading.
The book I'm reading is about Native American religion. It's called God is Red.
God is Red. Okay. Maybe next time we have one of these chats, you can fill us in.
Okay, will do. Before I go, I just want to say capitalism's a wonderful system and freedom's incredible. We should all cherish it.
And visit PrisonerMike.com. It's a place where you can throw a few bucks Mike's way if you want to help him with his budget for reading materials and such, research. Thank you, Michael Leibowitz.
Thank you.
Yes,
Todd,
the phone calls too. PrisonerMike.com. We'll talk to you next time, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.